Okay, so let's summarize all of this again. We know burnout is bad. So this is obvious to me. Like, this is a case that you've given anecdotal evidence on, hard numbers on. Why? It feels like this should just be like the number one thing that the healthcare industry should be tackling. Wait, maybe it is? Is it? Is it already like at the top of everyone's priority list?
Wow, what a great question. I want to answer that by saying we're getting there, but we are not there yet. We still are trying to make the argument that burnout is fundamental to how healthcare works, and we must address it.
I don't understand. You just painted the pictures. I'm sorry, I'm getting loud now because I'm excited, but like, from a business perspective, it's costing money. From a well-being perspective, emotional perspective, like from a humanity perspective, it's not a good look. From the people y'all are serving, patients, they are not getting the best care as a result as well. Like, why is this even controversial? What's the
Well,
problem?
okay. It's sometimes it's hard to bring to light something that is so obvious. So, let me just tell you what happened a little bit ago in healthcare, in the good old story of healthcare. At one point, quality wasn't actually something on our radar. Like, I think now most people expect that the kind of care you get should be high quality care, right?
Yes, of course.
Does it surprise you to know that we actually weren't measuring quality of care until more recently? And it just wasn't really a thing that we did in healthcare? Because that's exactly what the case was.
How recent are you talking that we weren't monitoring quality of care in healthcare?
Here's the truth. Of course, everyone was caring about quality, but we didn't have a system approach to it. So, of course, for me as a doctor, I was trying to do my best to give you the best quality care. But when you don't have a system approach to it, when it's not elevated to the level of a priority, that's the predicament you fall in. And when you finally measure it, you realize how low quality care we deliver. In fact, that's what happened. And in 2000, our premier institute of medicine, at that time it was called the Institute of Medicine, it's now known as the National Academy of Medicine. It's a independent group that's funded that is funded by taxpayer dollars, but is considered kind of the preeminent voice of all things for medicine and for science and engineering, so forth.
Sure.
So the National Academy of Medicine put out this sentinel report in 2000 called To Err is Human. And that report actually showed, it had measured and told us exactly what kind of quality care we were delivering. And shockingly or not, we weren't doing the best job. And that prompted the formation of, hey, we got to have leaders in the C-suite that are actually focused on quality. And you started seeing every hospital system form these roles where they started hiring chief quality officers, because when you elevate it to a priority, as evidenced by putting someone in the C-suite or really close to that, you actually start working on something. You actually start putting in those system foundations to the point now that, Christine, when you go to the hospital, quality isn't an afterthought. It's actually one of the first things that's thought about. And unfortunately, we're not there yet with burnout. And interestingly, another report came out, also a bit of a play on words, To Care is Human. And that was really about starting this journey of thinking about burnout as just an important priority
Oh,
as quality.
clever.
And that
I like
came out
that
in
title.
2018. Yeah.
2018. So To
Yes.
Err is Human came out in 2000, and To Care is Human came out in 2018.
Yes.
Okay, tell me more about that report. Tell me everything.
Well, I wish I could read it to you verbatim, but I think that's probably going to bore everyone. I think
I don't want that.
the summation is that we are but mere mortals, right? And if we don't put in system processes to ensure that we address burnout and promote a culture of well-being, well, guess what? We're actually not going to be well ourselves. And we mentioned that when you're burnt out, you cost, right? I mean, there's a cost to the healthcare system for being burnt out. But what I didn't mention is that burnout is also directly linked to medical errors. In fact, There are numerous studies that talk about doctors surveyed that the higher rates of burnout they have, the more medical errors they themselves report that they make. And this is not a doctor disengaged. This is a doctor wanting to do her best and still reporting that I'm making more mistakes and I feel like it's out of my control. We know that there's more hospital infections. So burnout is directly linked to more infections for those that are admitted, higher 30-day mortalities, and poorer patient experience. And that's not surprising. If I'm burnt out, I'm not fully focused on you right in front of me.
I love that report came out. I love that it paralleled the earlier report. What came out of that?
So in a very similar vein, we're now on that precipice of going from early adopters to, I hope, mainstream, where many health systems are actually hiring chief wellness officers. This goes down to change management. So everyone agrees it's an issue, right? I mean, you had the same reaction I had, Christine, when I first understood the importance of addressing burnout and literally dollars, patient experience, patient safety. I mean, it basically affects every single thing we care about in health or healthcare. Yet why isn't it happening? So this goes back to change management. Sometimes what it takes is putting a person that's very senior in charge of this to delegate this and make it yet another priority on everyone else's plate is not going to help us move the ball as fast down the, down the field as we want. And so Stanford, since I mentioned Stanford before, has a chief wellness officer who's actually one of the preeminent well-being experts in the world of healthcare, Tate Schoenfeld. Many other health systems are now starting to think about, okay, let's get a chief wellness officer. And this person's job is to be that conductor to get all of the different people in the orchestra together to actually play that tune that gets us to a culture of well-being.